You're listening to BusinessAmericaRadio.com, the leader in live business talk radio.
Welcome to Managing Technology the Right Way with your host, Sun Jogal. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are strictly those of the hosts, guests, and callers. Now showing you how to manage technology the right way, here's Sun Jogal.
Good morning, folks, and welcome to the show. It needs careful planning and flawless execution to make technology work for us. But how many times do we succeed? On this show, we invite business leaders and subject matter experts with extensive experience in technology management. The intent here is to learn from their experience and discuss better ways to manage technology. To learn more about the show, please visit talkshow.avval.com. That is talkshow.avval.com. Today's topic is business value of technology in real estate management. Our guest for today's show is Scott Morey. Scott is the Senior Vice President and CIO for Equity Office Properties Trust. In the 2 years that he has been with Equity Office, his department's annual operating budget has declined 7% annually, while the quality and types of services provided to the organization has increased. Scott is a board member of the prestigious Project Constellation, a real estate technology company that forms and sponsors real estate-related internet, e-commerce, and broadband enterprises. Scott is also one of the industry's most sought-after speakers on various topics pertaining to real estate and technology. Prior to joining Equity Office, Scott headed Midwest Real Estate Technology Practice for Ernst & Young and worked as a consultant for Platinum Software Company and Anderson Consulting on a range of financial services, real estate, and business initiatives. Good morning, Scott. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you.
Are you ready for the weekend?
I think we are. It's a little cold here, though.
Yeah, we are having a lot of, it was difficult scraping the ice off the car. So let's move on to the first question. Whenever we talk about real estate management, it looks like a very low-tech kind of business where, you know, there are very high capital costs and there's a lot of manual labor, and it's very manual labor intensive business. How do you see from your standpoint?
It's a great question. I mean, for years, and even somewhat still within the industry, I've always said real estate and technology was an oxymoron. And I think a lot of it actually is about the maturity of the industry in total. And there's a couple of ways of looking at it, but I think one is you look at it at a macro level, really the awareness of who the customer is within this industry in total has just really happened the last probably 4 to 6 years. And I think in line with that, I'm trying to find ways to strengthen and build those relationships and trying to find ways to use technology to strengthen them. So when we say, it's manually labor intensive, you could say that really for every other industry out there. It really depends, I guess. But part of it is not as much being intensive as much as it is picking the right spots for where you can truly differentiate your product and services. And I think real estate is just like anything else in regards to that.
So when you say about, like, of course, every other industry has a manual labor component. That's why there are individuals working there versus not only just machines taking care of the business.
Right.
When we talk especially about the real estate, when we see the management side of it, yes, of course, we can leverage technology. However, when we look at the actual work done, it is not something that we could have some robots go and do the cleaning, or we could have some robots go and do any form of technology that could be used. Yes, you are using a powered screwdriver to put a lock in place, but still there's a human being involved.
Right.
So especially in those kind of environments, you are trying to get away, but still you cannot get away from reducing the headcount. So how is that struggle handled?
Well, I think when you look at it, a couple things, actually. One is when you look, certain things that have to occur within the building, so whether it's cleaning or whether it's security, or obviously every building's got a fair number of engineering staff to be sure that it's running properly.
Mm-hmm.
There are ways, though, now using technology that you can streamline those activities. And what I mean by streamline is really take what would be baseline kind of activities. One in security would be the monitoring of that facility, and there's technology today that can integrate the various components. And so what I mean by that is security cameras, access control systems, other things. And you can create a new model that allows the security people, instead of being stuck behind looking at TVs, really to be able to go out and roam the property and interact more with the customers and the people that are there to provide a more secure, you know, and comfortable working environment. And I think when you look at the other categories, you could say the same thing. If you look at engineering, for example, if where you're sitting, I'm not sure exactly where it is, and where I'm sitting, if I am cold or hot, typically we would call the office manager or call our office manager who would call the property management office. And that's a very manual intensive task. And so there's been ways to use automation and technology to streamline those things, to shorten the turnaround times, increase the quality of the response and the actual service, and do it in a more efficient fashion. So I think the use of technology in this space, I mean, when you go 6 or 8 years ago, was implementing really accounting systems and really developing transparency on your customer base and how you're managing the business. The technology today is really about trying to increase the value and quality of services that ultimately, you know, our customers get.
And that's, of course, enlightening, because there are some areas which we feel from the outside that, you know, you simply cannot use technology, but definitely there are areas which you can use a creative approach to use technology and, you know, provide the required service and have an edge. So let's pick up the area for real estate management, where we are talking about the front end, that is sales, marketing, customer service. Yes, customer service, there is a lot of that is required, but in all these cases, when you go and make a sale, you are not actually going and I've not seen that many ads, you know, popping up on the internet, come and buy our, you know, come become our tenants. Or from the marketing standpoint, you know, it's a very subtle way of marketing, but it is definitely not the one where you could actually leverage a huge CRM system or a sales management system that effectively, I mean, the ROI would not be there, or at least that's what I think, but then would love to know your thoughts about it.
Well, I think a couple things. At an industry level, you know, I think most individuals in the industry, or most companies, really didn't recognize and function and treat them like customers really probably until the late 90s and even up to today. And a lot of that is about a couple things, actually. For the REITs, there was what's called a REIT Modernization Act, which went into effect in January of 2001. And we may talk about this later, portions of this later, but what it was about was really trying to open up the types of revenue that REITs can generate while maintaining their REIT status. And effectively, if you're a REIT, you're constrained by the types of income you can generate. I mean, it's primarily historical real estate activities. And in being a REIT, you know, you have significant advantages from a tax standpoint. So in line with that, in late, you know, or about 98, 99, a lot of real estate companies tried to identify if they had a brand and what that brand was and if they could extend that brand. And so as part of that, you saw people branch into offering and selling complementary services or products, so whether it was furniture, Technion furniture, or whether it was computer equipment or IT services and those things. And I think at that time there became a focus on, can we use what's now kind of historical but still relatively new CRM, customer relationship management tools, in a way that can help us extend that brand and help us with our existing relationships. And what's occurred really over the last couple of years is not as much about trying to sell the products and services, but really about trying to do two primary things. One is provide better transparency around our customers internally on who we know they are, and being sure that the left hand and the right hand know what they're doing and are aligned and focused in the right direction. And the second part is really about trying to make the sales process more efficient and a higher quality for everybody. And so an example, getting more specific, you look from showing, you know, if you and I were going to look to lease space somewhere, we may write an RFP, we may not, but we'd start going to look at assets. And at some point in time, we would get proposals from different parties, and that may equate, if we're going to go down the path further, to negotiating a lease. And that has been a very paper, manual, intensive environment. And so what we've tried to do, and I think that we have done, is provide tools for our employees that streamline that process, allow us to respond in a quicker fashion, and do so in a more consistent manner as well.
So that becomes almost like internal operations issue, because that's procurement.
Well, I know about call procurement. I mean, when we branch the procurement area, there's sort of similar thoughts there when you look at that process. But let's say, for example, again, sticking with leasing space, is if you're a customer of ours and wanted to lease space from us, more than likely you may have your own legal counsel or outside counsel. You may have a broker externally. You may have your own broker. You probably have people, because you're going to build out that space potentially, and may want us to build it out. So you may have architects or engineers or construction people involved. And so there's a number of people involved in these processes that need to share a lot of documents, in some cases negotiating them, in some cases just communicating them. And so we're really trying to provide a platform technically to help support that process.
And when you talk about this platform, do you actually give a door into this data, not only to your employees, but also to these outside contractors, of course, with separate levels of access, just because, you know, only if the employees have it, then you, of course, have the control, but the real value of the whole experience, not only for your customers, but also for your partners, would be that if they could become also a party to it, and they can sit in their office and literally transact, do the transaction with you without leaving their office, because you have this online system where you've given access to them.
You're exactly right. And I think when you look, I mean, at a broader term, and this is a term for those that follow Divine, which is now, I guess, back to Wyndham Hart, but they used to call it extending the enterprise. And we've had a big focus there, and I'll talk about it in more detail and give you a couple kind of measures. One is we have 2,500 employees internally. Externally, we've got about 25,000 people that access our systems, and that's just going to grow over time in a number of different areas.
So that's amazing. Now, let's pick up quickly the idea about this, you know, primarily since we still see that there is some effort made in the sales, marketing, and customer service. Primarily, the internal operations are the ones which have the most potential to be automated. Coming to a point where you have optimized these processes, What happens next? I mean, like, once it is optimized, and how much more can we optimize? How much more can we invest in it? But before we dig further into it, let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back after these messages.
Looking for ways to improve your IT department? Then visit www.avval.com today. Avval is a professional services firm with a mission to help companies align IT with their business objectives through strategy, technology, branding solutions, and services. Our commitment is to ensure bottom-line improvements as a result of services rendered by us. Whether it's an IT needs assessment, strategy development, or related implementation, we back it up by our unconditional, positive ROI guarantee. To find out how Avval can help your company, visit www.avval.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Avval, making IT work and look better. www.avval.com. Visit today.
Honest? Of course. Independent? You better believe it. Entertaining? See for yourself. Honest and independent are two words that best describe the Rothstein Report with your hosts, Jack Rothstein and John Hopkins, heard every Thursday at 10 a.m. On the show, John and Jack will offer you information that can be useful in any type of market, as well as teach you how to build wealth through equities. So if you want up-to-date stock analysis with a witty edge, listen to the Rothstein Report every Thursday at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time right here on BusinessAmericaRadio.com. If you're an independent business owner, you know about the many different challenges that you face, from employee relations and payroll to OSHA compliance. For cost-effective help with these problems and much more, tune in to Human Resources for the Entrepreneur with John Bierman every Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. On the show, John will discuss useful, practical human resource information, as well as bring you exciting and knowledgeable guests that will give you insight on many of the tough questions that you face as an entrepreneur. So make it a point to tune into Human Resources for the Entrepreneur with John Bierman every Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, right here on BusinessAmericaRadio.com. Talk radio with a business perspective.
Do you want practical business talk radio that thinks outside of the box? Then you need to tune in to Business Out of the Box with Margo Murphy. Every Wednesday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time, Margo will tackle the many different aspects of the business world, from building and reclaiming your profit to improving communications across your organization, as well as give you the opportunity to call in with your problems or new business ideas. This is truly your airtime business solution finder. Don't miss your chance to get out of the box. Every Wednesday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on BusinessAmericaRadio.com. Talk radio with a business perspective.
When you are investing, you should always have a strategy. And if you want to be an enlightened investor, then you need to tune into Strategies for Enlightened Investors. Broadcast live every Friday at 7 a.m. Pacific Standard Time with your hosts, Jim Whitten and Lance Alston. Strategies for Enlightened Investors will expose investment myths that are just not true and let you know about financial planning strategies for your future. Become an enlightened investor every Friday at 7 a.m. Pacific Standard Time right here on BusinessAmericaRadio.com. Talk radio with a business perspective.
You're listening to BusinessAmericaRadio.com, the leader in live business talk radio.
We now return to Managing Technology the Right Way. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free at 1-866-233-7861. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjo Gal.
Welcome back to the show, folks. For listeners who've just tuned in, today's topic is business value of technology in real estate management. Our guest for today's show is Scott Morey. Scott is the Senior Vice President and Chief Information Officer for Equity Office Properties Trust. In the last 2 years, he has been with the Equity Office. His department's annual operating budget has declined 7% annually, while the quality and types of services provided to the organization has increased. Scott is a board member of the prestigious Project Constellation, a real estate technology company that forms and sponsors real estate-related internet, e-commerce, and broadband enterprises. Scott is also one of the industry's most sought-after speakers on various topics pertaining to real estate and technology. Prior to joining Equity Office, Scott headed Midwest Real Estate Technology Practice for Ernst & Young and worked as a consultant for Platinum Software Company and Anderson Consulting on a range of financial services, real estate, and business initiatives. Before the break, we touched a couple of very good points where how does sales, marketing, and customer service-related functions work in real estate management, and my thoughts were that they are not as useful and they are not being used that much, but Scott definitely enlightened us by finding or helping us find ways by which this particular industry is able to use it creatively to actually get more leads and get more revenues. And the follow-up question I had was, primarily there are still the maximum number of things that you can do in terms of using technologies for making your internal operations better. And after a certain time, after a certain point, we see that it's been optimized. Like, how far can you go and how much ROI can you get from the incremental investment that you're going to make in it? And Scott, please share your thoughts.
Well, I think I have a couple thoughts on that topic. I mean, obviously, you can get to some point where, at least from an investment standpoint, you know, it may not be worth the value to get the, you know, small incremental increase in both quality and efficiency you would do in a certain initiative. And I think a couple different directions I can go in. One is, if you look at, and I'll use kind of the ERP implementations, really for any industry, is that typically whether you're implementing whatever it's Oracle, JD Edwards, SAP, etc., if you go back to that company a year or two after they implemented and ask if they were satisfied with it and if they were really getting the value out of it that they wanted to, it's very rare you get people or companies or departments that are fully satisfied. So with any initiative, and recognizing that in none of our markets, none of our companies are static, there's always a continual process to be sure you're optimizing the use of the technology in a way that aligns with the business. So we very often have initiatives that we call value achievement, which is really just exactly that around a given area. Now, when you look more specifically within real estate today, there are still a number of areas where we can dramatically expand the ways we provide value to our customers and do it in a more efficient fashion. And I think for us, and I was talking earlier about what I call extending the enterprise. Before we can do that, we really have to optimize our internal processes in a way that corrects, if there were any integrity or timeliness issues that allow us to fully extend it. So for the last 3 years, probably more 2 years, we've been very focused on some of our core internal processes, whether it was accounting, whether it was legal or marketing or other areas, to correct those things or to streamline those things in a fashion that allow us to really share those advantages, not just with our customers, but also with our business partners, suppliers, and employees.
I would like to actually share something very interesting, which I saw, especially when you mentioned about, like, you know, making your internal operations better, and before you actually take it to that scalable infrastructure, you have to set up your internal technical architecture, and so that it's ready to scale and make everything right internally before we go out and start offering it. However, there is another school of thought where they say, you know, the user, the end user, does not care whether you had it with a Band-Aid and shoestrings kind of architecture inside. So that the time to market is also important. If you go and say to your board that this is what I have to achieve, but before that I have to have like 1 year worth of technical architecture overhaul that needs to happen before we can do it, they might not necessarily agree to that because of the fact that there is some revenue that they would forego because of it. So one school of thought, that the school of thought that I mentioned, where is that bring it somehow to a point where it starts showing results, maybe not exactly like you wanted to have 100,000 users, maybe you bring it to 75,000 users, but you get it there and then have a parallel run, which will actually be the optimization or the overhaul effort, so that you do not lose those 5 to 6 months of revenue just because we wanted to have it set right and then then offer that service that you're talking about. So what do you think? What do you think about this school of thought?
Well, I think I agree with you, actually. I think there are sort of two parallel tracks here. One is when you look at certain business areas or processes or operations within the company, which ones can gain the most out of that. And there's a number of factors that go in determining that. But you wouldn't, for example, when I talk about, I think, you know, at some point we will have 100,000 people outside logging in, you know, I expect that to occur over a, you know, 6 to 18 month or even longer view. And what we will do is prioritize from a business standpoint which ones provide the greatest value to everybody. And those ones will be the ones that going, you know, will go first. So in line with that, when you look at the architecture, it's kind of a fine line. I think you do need to go in steps. I think you should have what probably is a 2 to 3 year roadmap of what the end state is, but recognize you will get there and do things from a release standpoint, application release standpoint, initiative standpoint before then. And the fine line is this, is that if you've got an organization that's used to having 2,500 users, and you suddenly have that organization have, you know, 100,000 or even 25,000 users, there's a burden that comes with that, which isn't just a burden relative to cost. It can also be relative to the quality of that experience. And so the balance is trying to walk that fine line that you can still support it, even though it may not be a perfect architecture. You can still support it in a fashion that doesn't diminish the quality of the experience, and does so in a way that doesn't diminish the value of the business initiative. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, definitely, and I'm pretty sure your board would be very happy to listen to this answer, because so this is what they want to get done. The you know, revenue is God, it is paramount, and everything else which is facilitating it, that's something which is you're getting paid for, the big bucks, right? Now, let's move on to the next question about talking you know, the occupancy rate that you have, and the success of your business, of course, is directly proportional to it. And when we talk about the competition, there might not be that much competition unless otherwise two different big players, one you and one your organization and one some other organization, trying to pitch for the same real estate, you know, which needs to be managed. So I'm just trying to understand the competitive landscape that you deal with, and in what fashion can technology help you in getting that edge. So please share your thoughts.
Well, I think when you look, what it comes down to is what is a customer really looking for when they're going out and looking to lease real estate. And typically, there's three main things. And there's, depending upon the type of customer or organization, there may be some variances of this. But it's typically the location, the price, and the third one's continuous space. And historically, and even today, and certainly within this market, those conditions hold true. There may be certain types of amenities they're looking for. There may be certain types of services they're looking for. But the consistency in there, there isn't any really. It varies by customer to customer. So when you look at location on the main, or you look on technology for the main three categories, meaning price, location, and continuous space, there are things you can do from a technical standpoint to try to make that a better experience and try to differentiate yourself from your competitors. Price and location is, there are a number of services out there that provide vacancy listing information, really being available space within a given market. And we wanted to provide a means very easily for people to be able to access that. And so it's probably, has been maybe even 3 years now, we released an initiative, and it's on our website called eSpace, which really provides an easy way for customers to search across our portfolio, which is the largest really that we have, our largest relative to our competitors in the major markets, and be able to see what's available, when is available, what specific information, you know, is about that property in that particular space, and at what price. And a lot of different companies, a lot of companies in the space have done that already, so I don't know if it's really that differentiating. But I think we were really in doing it. The third category is harder, is continuous space. So if you thought, you know, you and I had a company and we're going to move to, for example, let's say Chicago where I'm sitting, and we knew today we needed 50,000 square feet, but we believed over the next couple years we needed another 25,000 square feet, another 50,000 square feet, and those types of things. It's very hard in the old traditional way. If I brought you in, or you know, they brought us in and showed us around, we'd have to almost visualize as they walked us through the various properties of how that may look like and what that configuration would look like. And so we've done a couple initiatives within Equity Office, which is really about trying to use technology and tools to make that something that's more easier to understand. More specifically, when you look in the Boston market, we developed a tool with an outside party that really provides a 3D visualization of the entire market, not just the buildings that we own and manage, but the market in total. And using that tool, we can show in what we call an experience center, so it's very visual driven, we can show that market, we can show particular spaces, and we can show where there is vacancy, whether it's today or in the future, to try to provide ultimately an easier way for a customer who wants multiple locations or thinks they're going to expand to be able to understand what that may look like. And so we've actually, you know, are looking at doing something like that on a grander national basis. We've really done just pilots on that. And we've been looking at different systems, actually, to do it. And what's been interesting, the systems we've been looking at are ones that are used 3D modeling tools for the automotive industry and for other product industries. And there are some great tools there that can provide that ability to do it, you know, to give you that experience. The issues have really been the back-end integration of getting that data in a cost-effective fashion. But we believe over the next couple years we will be able to have a tool like that where even someone on the web, if you and I want to look at space in L.A., in Boston, or let's say in Dallas, you could go in and really understand our share of that market, what we could offer to you as a customer, and the time frames around which that would occur.
That is so amazing, like the way you could use technology for something as you know, manual intensive that used to be some time back. And actually, there's something interesting I was thinking already about, you know, extending this particular feature about being able to go and identify a space, is because you said, you know, I need 50,000 square feet. Now, when a business is trying to identify how much space do they need, they just say, we want to house these many people and these many computers and things like that. Maybe, you know, there's something like I've seen in IKEA. If you go to IKEA.com, they have an office planner where you can literally put your desk and tables and everything and have the people sitting in there, and shows a 3D visualization of the whole office. And then that's what you could actually reverse feed the total space that a business can look for. And then from that point onwards, then you say, okay, by the way, this is the number of square feet that we need. So let's go and find out where exactly do we need to go. So that's just an idea. Just wanted to share it with you. So let's pick up this procurement function that you have. When we talk about finding the lease that people are looking for, and then from the internal standpoint as well as from the hiring, training, and scheduling of the personnel, you can use IT for making that or rather getting that edge over other people. Now, where do you see Equity Office is from that standpoint? I know you answered about, you know, providing the access to the system, but is the procurement function and training, scheduling, and hiring of individuals, is it being centralized and being done through one system, or there are silo systems sitting there?
That's a great question.
Let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back after these messages, so please stay tuned.
Looking for ways to improve your IT department? Then visit www.avval.com today. Avval is a professional services firm with a mission to help companies align IT with their business objectives through strategy, technology, branding solutions, and services. Our commitment is to ensure bottom-line improvements as a result of services rendered by us. Whether it's an IT needs assessment, strategy development, or related implementation, we back it up by our unconditional, positive ROI guarantee. To find out how Avval can help your company, visit www.avval.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Avval, making IT work and look better. www.avval.com. Visit today. Technology is changing the way we live our lives and how we do business. On Managing Technology the Right Way, we'll talk about the benefits of technology and the great things it allows us to do, as well as its associated risks. Heard every Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, Sun Jogal, the host of Managing Technology the Right Way, will interview business leaders and other experts that have shaped the way we use technology. If you want to keep up with the changing world of technology, listen to Managing Technology the Right Way with Sun Jogal every Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time right here on BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
If you own your own business and are concerned with safety issues, then you need to tune in to Safety and Compliance, What You Need to Know, with your host, Michael Hughes. On the show, Michael will discuss real-world examples and solutions in achieving safety, compliance, and true cost reduction. That's Safety and Compliance, What You Need to Know, Mondays at 7 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, right here on BusinessAmericaRadio.com. Talk radio from a business perspective.
Intellectual property is an integral part of today's business world, and protecting your IP is critical to business success. On Intellectual Property and You, host Dr. Steve Degnan provides you information and real-world advice regarding intellectual property. Dr. Degnan will also bring on experts in the IP field and allow you, the listener, to call in with questions. The world of IP is complex and full of pitfalls. Learn to protect you and your business by tuning into Intellectual Property and You. Heard every Monday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time here on BusinessAmericaRadio.com. Talk radio from a business perspective.
If you have ever wanted to increase your effectiveness in the classroom or just wanted to know how to improve your impact as an instructor, then you need to tune in to Training by Design with your host, Bonnie Holloway and Anna Cahoe. Every Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, Bonnie and Anna will bring you new and exciting ways to affect learning in the classroom environment, as well as teach you about the critical aspects of designing online learning. So won't you please join Bonnie and Anna on Training by Design every Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Get your tips and techniques for effective learning right here on BusinessAmericaRadio.com. Talk radio with a business perspective.
For up-to-the-minute advice and analysis on the market, listen to Money Matters with Dean Greenberg every Wednesday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time on Business America Radio. On the show, Dean will deliver an honest and straightforward analysis of current market conditions and help you understand how certain economic developments can affect stock prices. Develop your new investment strategy today. Listen to Money Matters with Dean Greenberg every Wednesday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time right here on BusinessAmericaRadio.com, because money really matters.
You're listening to BusinessAmericaRadio.com, the leader in live business talk radio.
Yeah. We now return to Managing Technology the Right Way. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free at 1-866-233-7861. Now back to the show. Here's Sun Jogal.
Welcome back to the show. For listeners who've just tuned in, today's topic is business value of technology in real estate management. And our guest for today's show is Scott Murray. And Scott is the Senior Vice President and Chief Information Officer for Equity Office Properties Trust. Before the break, we were discussing about issue about the centralization of procurement function as well as the hiring, training, and scheduling of service personnel, which could significantly improve the efficiency and effectiveness of operations of a real estate management organization. The question was, where does Equity Office stand in that regard, and to what extent technology is being exploited to provide the required bandwidth to these functions?
Well, I think there's really two categories of procurement for us. There's probably more than two, but I'll simplify. One is the services side, which would equate to cleaning personnel and security personnel and other things related to that. And the other category is what we would call maintenance, repair, and operations, or MRO, which is basically products and things that are needed at the individual properties on a consistent basis. And when you look really for Equity Office, I mean, we have been probably one of the fastest growing, if not the fastest growing, company in this space. We are the largest one in this space, although it's highly fragmented. We represent, I think, less than 5% of what's out there. And in line with that, you know, we've embarked on an initiative really the last 2 years called EO Plus, which is really about the fulfillment of that model. And EO Plus is the fulfillment of the model both from a cost standpoint and a revenue standpoint. So obviously procurement is a big portion of the cost area. And what we did is we spent a lot of time initially, and it's the luxury of having an ERP solution, is went through and mined that data to really understand our cost structure and contracts and also look at an individual market basis for what characteristics at an individual property may lead and justify or explain variances in the cost, either per square foot or otherwise, within there. So when you look at it, for long-time companies like us, because they said, okay, we run the East Coast. Let's say we're more of a regional property manager. We'd go and try to establish, or you see companies like that would go and try to establish regional or Eastern U.S. contracts with companies that operated in that same area. And I think for a while we weren't that different, meaning that we spent a lot of time establishing national contracts with significant players. And when you really peeled it back and looked by market and by asset, in some cases it made sense to use those providers, in some cases it didn't. So I think what our change in mindset was, we were still leveraging our scale, but we're leveraging our scale of information and data so that we can really look and evaluate partners at a local level to be sure we're getting the best quality vendor and supplier at the right, an appropriate cost. And the technology portion of that really equates to both the mining of that data and understanding what we have. It also equates to how we put those types of services out to bid. And then thirdly, really how we manage that. And when I say manage that, is a lot of those contracts really are billed on the basis of occupancy. And so we've looked at different ways of how we streamline that. Or we may have, for example, cleaning where you've got baseline services that occur nightly in the building, but if something occurred out of the ordinary during the day, we would call them and have them come in and clean, and that would be a separate billable, activity for them. So what we've tried to do is provide technology to streamline those processes, to develop transparency in the data, and to provide the property management personnel and our operating personnel the effective tools to be sure, we're getting the right job done for our customer base. So although it's been centralized, I'm going to go over to the product side here in a sec versus the service side, but, we've centralized the manner of more the architecture and the data and the platform to really enable our folks out in the field and the properties to make the right decisions and to be able to enforce and strengthen those relationships with those service-based providers. When you look at a product basis, which I equate again to MRO, maintenance, repairs, operations, that is something where clearly there's efficiencies gained in purchasing items in mass because they're really commodity-level items. I mean, it could be, for example, just toilet paper, but when you look at the amount of toilet paper or those types of products that are similar we purchase, it's really fairly significant. And there's a host of other categories, both around when we do tenant improvements when someone's moving in, which is more around the construction area. And what we did is we centralized that function through here at corporate headquarters in Chicago and have really tried to streamline the procurement of that in that fashion. But we've also provided tools out to our employees to be able to leverage it further. So, for example, we use an e-procurement solution, which streamlines the purchasing of that process really from the properties all the way through to the supplier through delivery. We've rolled out a ProCard solution, which really streamlines your internal accounting around the purchasing of goods and has dramatically reduced our check count, which has a quantifiable value associated to it in the managing and paying of those invoices. So there's a whole range of areas here that are, you know, fairly complex that we've really focused on, I think, to provide, you know, a consistent, really quality services at our properties to our customers, and also to really leverage our scale effectively where it makes sense to reduce the overall cost in that area.
And this is very encouraging to see how your customers are being taken care of and how your internal systems are supporting it. I always had this understanding about like this revenue side. Yes, you had that procurement that is happening from products and services, but from the revenue standpoint, it seems like the rent or the lease cost, etc., whatever the customer pays, is the sole source of revenue for your organization. And that's why people are trying to come up with creative services or creative extensions of services, like some of the things which I thought were like moving services and then office planning services, or even for that matter, voice over IP services. You cannot become SBC, but you definitely can create an internal center or maybe a centralized voice over IP center, which could even be managed by somebody, some other vendor. But then that could be like a package that could offer to your tenants. That would, of course, increase the that will create secondary revenue streams, and it'll also be, since it's being controlled by you, then you'll also make sure that it's given in the best fashion. Although we don't want to dilute your business focus, but additional revenue streams don't harm. So, what are your thoughts about it, and are you doing anything in that regard?
Well, I think it's a great question. I think that question really got tested in the industry when the Modernization Act came out in January of 2001. And one of the fundamental questions here is sort of control, and it's also, you know, risk versus the value. When you look at the ancillary services, whatever it may be, and you look at the revenue you could potentially obtain there versus the revenue in the traditional real estate area, it is... The risk doesn't necessarily outweigh the value on that. And what I mean is that if I can't control it and that experience goes poorly and my customer doesn't want to renew, I really lost a huge source of revenue that will be difficult to replace that wasn't offset by the increase in margin or income on those other areas.
Okay, that kind of clarifies what I had in mind. Let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back after these messages.
Looking for ways to improve your IT department? Then visit www.avval.com today. Aval is a professional services firm with a mission to help companies align IT with their business objectives through strategy, technology, branding solutions, and services. Our commitment is to ensure bottom-line improvements as a result of services rendered by us. Whether it's an IT needs assessment, strategy development, or related implementation, we back it up by our unconditional, positive ROI guarantee. To find out how Aval can help your company, visit www.aval.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Aval, making IT work and look better. www.avval.com. Visit today.
Everyone loves incentives. With Rex Bridges' new show, Making Incentives Pay Off, you will learn how to make the most out of incentive programs. heard every Tuesday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time. Making Incentives Pay Off is a show dedicated to examining the philosophy of incentives in the business world. So whether you're trying to get incentives or trying to develop a successful incentive program for your business, listen to Making Incentives Pay Off with Rex Bridges every Tuesday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on BusinessAmericaRadio.com. Talk radio from a business perspective.
Hiring great people is one of the hardest and most important challenges you will face in running a business. Are you hiring smart or just hiring warm bodies? Learn how to make all the right choices by listening to the HR Power Hour with your host, Lee Richardson. On the show, Lee will teach you some easy-to-use techniques to make your staffing decisions with confidence. Broadcast live every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, the HR Power Hour will help keep you up to date with the new ways that you can make your company more cost-effective by improving productivity and performance from your employees. So tune in every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time for the HR Power Hour with Lee Richardson, right here on BusinessAmericaRadio.com. International Wealth Management with Dennis Robert Carpenter is a show designed to save you money. Heard every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, Dennis will bring you exciting ideas and knowledgeable guests with expertise in money management. Topics included in the show will be ID theft, avoiding probate, and how to make sure the IRS isn't your biggest beneficiary. Once again, that's International Wealth Management with Dennis Robert Carpenter, CFP. Heard every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on BusinessAmericaRadio.com. International Wealth Management. It makes perfect sense.
Are you looking for a unique perspective on today's market from an experienced economist? Well, look no further. Listen to The Economic Contrarian with host Mike Norman every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time on Business America Radio. Mike and his guests will discuss new trends in the marketplace, as well as emerging companies and opportunities. So if you want in-depth analysis from a contrarian point of view, don't miss The Economic Contrarian Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific Time right here on BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
You're listening to BusinessAmericaRadio.com, the leader in live business talk radio.
We now return to Managing Technology the Right Way. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free at 1-866-233-7861. Now back to the show. Here's Sun Jogal.
Welcome back to the show, folks. For listeners who've just tuned in, today's topic is business value of technology in real estate management, and our guest for today's show is Scott Morey. Scott is the Senior Vice President and CIO for Equity Office Properties Trust. Before the break, we discussed briefly about the ancillary services that could be offered along with the rent or the leasing cost for the customers, that being the primary revenue stream, and this could offer the secondary revenue stream, and Scott justified that it was tested, but there were some issues related to the lack of control or lack of business focus, and also the risk it's going to introduce in the system. So we'll move on to the next question about some of the chronic IT-related needs and pains in this real estate management industries, which, in spite of all the effort that has been made by technology leaders like Scott, have not been addressed. First of all, are there any, and if at all there are, why are they not being addressed, or what is stopping us from being able to address them?
Let me. I'm gonna make one other statement actually in the previous question before I jump into this one. I think the one other thing to recognize too on the ancillary services, whether they're products or services or something else to our customer base, is our customers, the ones really making the decisions, aren't yet asking for those items. So, for example, wireless, which is so key in this industry, when people are leasing space, if there are two different locations, if one is has Wi-Fi and one doesn't, it's not enough of a factor that's driving that decision, which is critical really obviously for us, because as that turning point or tipping point occurs, then in some ways we'll be required to provide some of those products and services to them to be sure that we remain competitive. And so using Wi-Fi specifically, it's very interesting. If you look, for example, it's my understanding in China, to be classified as a Class A property, you have to be and provide wireless. And so there's a fair amount of focus going in the U.S., and just take wireless out of it, around more the appraisal side of this, because either the buildings get appraised higher or the customers ask for it. It's a little bit of a chicken and the egg. But over time, it'll be an interesting thing to watch, because I think real estate companies and property management companies and owners ultimately over time will be offering different forms of products and services that they require, which will be interesting to watch. When you look at from a chronic pain standpoint within technology, I think, you know, I used to say my worst enemy is the United Way magazine or America Way magazine. And a lot of it is about, for any of us, I think, in setting common expectations and realistic expectations on really what can technology do. And in many cases, I think it is actually oversold. And so a lot of my, if I want to use the word pain, I guess, it's not really a pain, it's just a nature of the role, is really working on educating people and the executive team and key people within the organization to look at things in the right light and define issues not with technical solutions but with business problems that then allow us to take the combination of those things to find the right solution, whether it includes technology or not.
So when we talk about these needs and pains, and of course there's education, going forward, what do you think are going to be the issues related to this education not being imparted properly? I mean, what is stopping us from being able to do? That's, of course, a pain, but why is educating so complex in the first place? You know, there could be tools, and, you know, learning industry has been booming by itself, then why could not other innovative ways of teaching these folks could be used?
I think it's how it's used. I mean, it's used historically when we talk systems, it was accounting systems. And historically, not just us, I mean, the industry or every industry, depending upon where the kind of maturity was from an industry standpoint. But for a long time, it was accounting systems. And an accounting system may be 80%, or if not 100%, of what they thought their core systems were. And when you're educating someone there, it's just not that complex. I mean, when you're cutting checks or when you're collecting cash, there's only so many variances you can do. When you talk about really what systems are now for us, but I think for every industry, it's not just the accounting systems, but you're taking significant processes that are really complex and trying to find ways to make them better. And in doing that, you can't just, there's no simple, you know, solution. You can't say, I just want to buy an ERP solution. I just want to do this. You've really got to understand the nuances and the details of that particular area to really be sure you are doing something that's going to make it take a step forward and not take a step back. And so for us, our ERP solution was, you know, 70% of our world, really, for lack of a better way of terming it, 4 or 5 years ago. And I got to say today, it's probably 30%. And, you know, I've got systems today that are really ingrained and critical in the operations that suddenly for the first time in real estate, you know, uptime and being 24/7 uptime really becomes important. So a long answer, kind of a short question. I think, you know, the areas that all of us are trying to automate are complex, that the education is not just in technology. Education is really around the combined solution and being sure you're doing the right thing.
That's amazing. What do you think was one of the, you know, you've definitely shared the success stories, the way you've dealt with technology and it's really created value. Would you be able to share a story where an IT initiative was not done properly, or it was unfortunate because of different variables that were playing there, because of which it did not deliver the value?
Well, I think an interesting one, I mean, this initiative succeeded in the end, but we had an initiative, you know, focused on our sales cycle and try to automate, you know, if you look at CRM in general, not just real estate, if you take, we all heard the stats on how many CRM, you know, implementations failed. And what's interesting is those implementations and those companies and those industries outside of real estate had procedures on how to interact, you know, with their customer. And so you look in real estate where they're discovering the customer more recently, say last 4 to 6 years, for all of us, implementing that type of solution in this environment is incredibly complex. So we actually, when we did that project, we technically and functionally were ready to go, but the business wasn't aligned and prepared to receive it. And that being such a critical component of our operations, we made a decision to defer that rollout until we could focus more and spend more time on being sure from a training, education, policy, and procedure standpoint that it would succeed. So that's probably the best example that I can provide.
On behalf of the show and our listeners, I would like to thank you, Scott, for sharing your experience related to effectively using technology to gain competitive advantage in real estate management business.
Well, I want to thank you. It's been a pleasure, and I definitely enjoyed the time.
Thanks again. I urge all our listeners to participate as well, as because that's the key to the success of this show. In order to get a quantum leap ahead of your competitors, the key is to adopt an out-of-the-box thinking. And that's not only for your business strategy, but also how you can leverage technology for value innovation. By value innovation, I mean creatively using available services, repackaging them, and offering them at the right time in the right context so that even your customers' latent demands are fulfilled. And if you can take this approach, your competitors will have a hard time catching up. Tune in again next Friday at 10 a.m. Central. The topic of our next show is IT outsourcing, why and how. The guest for our next show is Frank Britt. Frank is the Vice President, Strategic Outsourcing for Consumer Packaged Goods, Wholesale Distribution, and Computer Services Business Units at IBM Global Services. Do you need to outsource your IT functions? If yes, then how to do it right and in order to reap the full benefits that it promises? Let's listen to Frank to learn about the challenges and rewards of IT outsourcing. Thank you again for listening to Managing Technology the Right Way. This is Sanjog All, your talk show host. Till next week, take care and God bless.
Thank you for listening to Managing Technology the Right Way. Please join Sanjog All next Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time right here on BusinessAmericaRadio.com.